in your face.
Wow, we are talking to Clarice Bonello and Matthew Connell from the Victorian Theatre Company about their upcoming productions, Future Loves Burning and Age of Extremes, 2-1 actors all merged into one. Matthew.
So, well, first of all, we're playing at the Motley Bauhaus in Carlton, which is the first time as a company we've been there. And it's going to be a bit of an event. We're taking over pretty much the whole venue. So we're going to be using the pub downstairs, the theatres upstairs, the backstage areas, the dressing rooms, and the audience are going to get to see all of it. So we've been making this show for a couple of months now, written and directed by Tim Wotherspoon. So essentially, Act One is we're all playing ourselves and we are a troupe of actors attempting to put on a play and failing miserably at it. Feelings are hurt, things are broken, fires are lit.
It's crazy.
And then there's a little interval. And then after interval, we actually get to put on the show that we've been trying to put on as actors. So it's a play within a play, and the audience get to watch that play.
Fantastic. Now tell us about your acting parts.
Yeah, well, it is very interesting. As I signed on for this project, it was very funny. I sort of said to Tim, like, can you pitch me, like, what we'll be doing? And he pitched this really long-winded, abstract, non-specific thing. And so I was like, you know what, I'm in, because this sounds crazy. And he let me know of the team, and the actors are incredible. So as Matt said, we do play ourselves, or a version of ourselves. And then we kind of, as we put on a performance, I say in inverted commas, for the second act, we kind of play these mysterious people. I'm playing a galactic space warrior. Matt is sort of encompassing every man. And so there's lots of really different takes on reality. So we kind of embody a number of different things in that second act.
What's the significance with Nikita Khrushchev?
Oh, okay. So that's that's mostly in Act One, and I don't want to give it away. But the way that Tim writes is, so this is why I'd love to talk about this show on your program, because we've improvised a lot in rehearsal, physical improvisation, and we've listened to a lot of the necks whilst doing so. So the way that Tim's writing works is it kind of weaves together disparate threads like a kind of necks improvisation. And so that Khrushchev is part of that radio wave weave. But that's all I'm going to say about it.
Wow, and how great that you're talking about it on the radio. It's got that kind of Soviet era kind of,
Absolutely.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah.
So it's kind of like when if you have a broken radio and it's kind of switching from channel to channel to channel to channel, that's kind of like what the play sounds like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Clarice, what is it like acting to Tim Wotherspoon's writing? And also, he's directing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it is wild. It is, I will say, it is a real privilege, though, because reading his stuff, sometimes I say to them, I'm like, it's like we're reading Shakespeare. He's written his own language in certain aspects of this text. And once you go through it, or you play with it, or you ask questions, it just opens up more and more. And it is such a gift as an actor to be able to play with that and what it means, or what your character's trying to say, how they relate to each other, what words they will use. It's really, really fun, and it's very playful. So as Matt was saying, with all the music as well, we've done that improvisation with music, with a bit of text, with our bodies. So it's really encompassing all our skills and tools as actors to play and to just craft something that resonates with each of us in a different way.
And he's written all of the characters based on us. So all of our natural rhythms, kind of, he's amplified and turned the volume up on, and maybe some of our worst bits he's turned the volume up on as well. So you get to see kind of crazy out there, real versions of us.
How has he interpreted you, like, you know, in terms of how you react to it?
Honestly, some of it I was reading and I was like, oh my God, that's Matt. And I wondered, is Matt aware of this? So there was one conversation, actually, I called Tim and I said, you know, my character, I love it, but I don't know if I see myself in this character. And then I thought, well, hang on. If I don't see it, does that mean I don't know myself and people are perceiving me differently to how I see myself? And so it was a real mess for my brain to try and get around. But it is so fun to really play into that and be okay with all your insecurities or weird things you say or ways you speak. So it is a challenge, but it's also incredibly fun.
Yeah, and a real treat for everyone, but for those who know us personally to come and watch it and kind of see us acting in that way on stage, being so exposed. Mm-hmm. It's I've been in one other Tim Wotherspoon play, and we used the same process to make it, and it was very, very satisfying for those in the audience.
So you like the interpretations of you, Matt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of me if I'm behaving badly on a drunk night is where it kind of goes with it. But it just means that all of the rhythms are tailored to me, and if I can nail them, it can be very, very funny. So it's a real joy to play.
Is it hard to nail?
Because the text can be quite complex. As I said, it's like a radio changing stations. But if you approach it with rigor and you really get specific on the words that you're saying, you do get a really good payoff. So it's tricky, but when you master it, it's really like Shakespeare. It's kind of like playing Shakespeare.
And I will say that Tim has asked all of us as well with certain aspects of the script, is it okay if I really lean into this part of you here or there? So nothing's a surprise or taking us for granted in any way. It's all very safe and beautiful and collaborative in that way.
Yeah. What can you tell us about Tim as a person? Like, he must be an amazing kind of thinker to come up with this.
Tim is an amazing thinker. Tim is very, very funny, very sharp. So we went to the VCA together to acting school about 15 years ago. That's how long I've known him for. But I've only worked with him really in the past couple of years. So this will be his second show with VTC. Yeah, incredibly funny, incredibly astute, and very across world politics. A kind of eternal inspiration for him, or something that he draws on, is the politic of Cold War era Europe, really connected to what's going on in the world right now. But he will usually localize it to a troupe of actors here in the room, us in Melbourne, and that's his kind of gateway into the bigger picture.
And how fascinating, just after the Hungarian election as well.
Mm. Totally. I know, which is massive, massive, massive news. And, you know, that government has been waiting, you know, a long time to get
change.
Out. To change. Yeah, that's right, to change.
And the whole dynamic with, you know, all of a sudden Putin's got a completely different take now on them as well. It's so bizarre how it's twisted.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really feels, in Future Love's Burning Age of Extremes, it really feels like that is all being crammed into the ether in the Motley Bauhaus.
Mm. Wow. So it's two one-actors combined.
That's right. That's right. And one leads on to the other.
And you're taking over the whole venue. How wild is that?
I know. There's not too much travelling for the audience. We don't make everyone walk around constantly. You do get seats and you do get to sit down. But we are opening up pretty much the whole venue and guiding the audience through. So they get to see parts of the Motley Bauhaus usually audience would never get to see, because Act One is all about a real troupe of actors really trying to put on a really difficult piece.
So you're in the back blocks of the venue.
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Like where?
Like in the hallways, in the dressing rooms, in the unused theatres, then in the actual theatre, in the bar, in the pub downstairs, we're warming up, where the show actually kind of starts outside and then makes its way in. It's definitely going to be an experience you're not likely to have at the Motley Bauhaus.
So, Clarice, you mentioned before the Shakespearean kind of angle as well. What's it like doing this really kind of modern play, but with that influence?
You know, it's funny because we all try not to do a Shakespeare voice as actors. And I was in the car earlier just practicing some of the lines, and I just went into this heightened voice. And I was like, wait a minute, bring it back down. Use your natural voice. Be grounded in this text, because it's already there. Everything you need in Tim's text is already there. So it is such a challenge, but it's also so fun because in that way you're expressing things you never thought you could express in such a wacky, weird way. And sometimes the lines are not literal, But the way he's written it, if you put the right intonation, it makes sense. If you just hear that going past, you're like, oh, that makes sense. I can completely follow it. So I think there's part of it where the audience might be lost, but it's like, go with it. Trust us. We've got you. And we're going to take you on this ride. So that's how I feel about the text.
It's kind of like, you know, when you're talking to someone and you don't quite hear what they say,
yes.
You don't hear the words, but you recognize the rhythm. And so then you answer.
Yes.
It's a little bit like that.
Tell us about the Victorian Theatre Company, Matthew.
So we formed at the beginning of 2020, just before COVID. And funnily enough, our first project that we ever did was a radio play, not knowing that come, you know, COVID, we would be the only theatre company with a ready-made thing actually being able to put it out. So that we've done maybe 8 or 9 productions now. So we're in our 7th year. We started off as a group of people all from different disciplines. So we had a filmmaker, a producer, a director, a photographer, a sound designer. And the idea was that between us, we could pretty much cover all of the roles needed to put on a stage show. So since then, we've made a feature film, we've made a radio play, we've done multiple stage plays, and we've got a really great audience that have stuck with us really since the beginning. So it's very much every year it feels like a new conversation with the audience that we carry with us.
And Clarice, tell us about the work that you've been doing in the lead up to these other productions you've been in.
Well, I love theatre. That's kind of like my ultimate favourite thing. And I think I've been very lucky in that this is my third production with Victorian Theatre Company. So every time they ask for me, I'm in. I'm locked in. I think they just have this beautiful way of supporting different kinds of shows and going, like really pushing those experimental boundaries. So for me, I'm very interested in voice work and physical theatre, and I do a lot of those kind of things in my practice. And in some way, that's really prepared me and armed me for this gig, because we are throwing ourselves on the floor every rehearsal. We are making strange noises, singing, learning songs, dancing. So it's a real 360 workout for an actor. So I feel like all the work I do is kind of leading up to these points. Every actor kind of has, you know, things they do to sustain them. And I'm really being tested with this show, I'll tell you that.
It sounds like a sport.
It is. Yeah, it is. I mean, this is our instrument. Our body is our instrument. And so, yeah, fine-tuning that is what we have to do.
Absolutely. And even now in rehearsal, I mean, today we are 3 weeks from opening night. So the countdown is definitely on. But even now we are still putting on jazz music, rolling around on the floor, doing contact impro just to keep all of that alive, as well as kind of vocal improvisation.
How much fun is that?
Oh, it's so
obviously
great.
Obviously heaps.
It's so great. It's just, it's what a way to kind of break up your week is just to get onto a floor with a group of other people that you're making a show with, turn your brain off and just move.
So where are you rehearsing right now?
So it's been a smorgasbord of places. We rehearse at a university. We rehearse in our living rooms. Because we're taking over the whole Motley Bauhaus, when we rehearse in one of our houses, we just move around the whole house rehearsing the show. So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow at Clarice's place.
Yep.
We'll be using the staircase and the bathrooms and the living room and the backyard. So, I actually think that is preparing us more for working in the space than if we had one conventional rehearsal room.
I agree. We are sometimes at the Motley Bauhaus, but they do have other gigs on all the time. So sometimes you can only use a certain section of it. But being in the house and being able to do it, it allows you to not sit in the familiarity and be open to exploring and changing things on the fly. So having different venues has actually worked to our advantage. And I suppose if we ever wanted to do this show again, we know there is a possibility of putting it on at a different venue with a different layout.
Anywhere. Yeah, anywhere. And I do have to say that the Motley Bauhaus have been really amazing, and they're actually co-presenting this show with us. So they've let us in every weekend. They've let us in and given us, wherever there's a free space, they've allowed us to rehearse there, just because they know kind of what our vision is, and they know that we really do need to get the dimensions of the space in order to figure out how to play through all of it.
It sounds incredibly queer because you're kind of pushing those boundaries of what's normal theatre.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that queer kind of lens.
Well, I You know, so often you go to theatre, whether it's on the independent scene or in the subsidised scene, and, you know, there is a feeling where it just feels slightly dead.
Yes.
It feels like you're watching a culmination of rehearsal and of a predetermined theoretical position. And this, as you say, the kind of queerness of it, it just breaks it open. And to use the space in the way that we're using it is forcing us as well to kind of queer our processes, to think of it from different perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suppose having the audience so close to us as well will make the performances slightly different every night. How will they stand? How will we move through them? How will they interact? How will that shift every single performance? So it's really making us open up and just be responsive to anything and everything that might happen.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking that you know, if you guys go off script, you can handle that because of the way you've been rehearsing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's funny that there are lots of moments in the script where they read as accidents. It feels like we've totally gone off script, off the rails. Mm-hmm. But in fact, we're very prescriptive with following his text, because if we fall out of that, we may actually lose the plot.
We may lose it, yeah.
I mean, you got to think we've lost the plot, but we need to know very much what the plot is.
Yeah, I think it is. It's just incredibly playful. Yes, we could save it if we did muck up and you wouldn't know, but we would know and we'd beat ourselves up over that. Yeah.
So you don't feel like you're going crazy?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's very meta. You know, sometimes moments happen in rehearsal and we'll look at each other and go, oh my God, I think we need to just have a glass of water.
Yes.
And process.
But it's bringing us all together. Like, I've only worked with a few of these actors before, and sharing the space and the excitement and the energy and the creativity has just been mind-blowing. So it is a real privilege, and I always remind myself of that. Even if I feel a little off one day, being in that room just re-energizes you. In a beautiful way. Yeah.
So what's it been like having Tim, the writer, also as the director?
Well, I mean, he's been writing it as we've been rehearsing. So it really is a feedback loop where he gets the stimulus from us in the rehearsal room, and then the next rehearsal will have more script, and then he directs kind of from there. So it's like a snake eating itself kind of thing. But he really is an auteur. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing the lighting design, he's written the script, he's doing the direction, he's doing most of the sound design as well. We do have a designer, Matea Davies, who's doing an amazing job at the costumes and just placing bits and pieces through the curation of the Motley Bauhaus. But it really does feel like, Tim, this is a very big auteur experience for him.
My first experience of Tim was watching him as an actor in a show that he was doing, and I was blown away. So Tim is also an exceptional actor. So having him watch us in the rehearsal room, for me, it is a great privilege, but also a little scary, because I'm looking for that approval as well, because I just want to be as good and present as he is on stage. Yeah. It's really a sight to behold. He can actually do it all.
He really can. And he is, in fact, doing it all at the moment, because he's currently in season for a show at La Mama called Head, Thorax, Abdomen. So he's performing at nights and then coming to rehearse with us in the day to direct and write.
And what's that production like?
Well, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going on the last Saturday, but I've heard incredible things and the reviews have been stellar.
I have seen it. It is one to behold. It was so unexpectedly captivating, and you sort of have, without spoiling it, just sort of three distinct stories that really weave together in a colossal way. Very, very well acted, well presented, beautiful.
You mentioned the radio element. I'm fascinated by that. Is he listening to a lot of radio, or is he listening to a lot of old radio? Like, how's that working?
Yes, absolutely. I think Tim does listen to a lot of radio. He listens to a lot of music from the last century. And I think we're all kind of feeling the same, where there is this real hunger for liveness and for radio and for analog. I'm feeling really freaked out by AI and you know, what used to be fun on my phone in terms of social media apps. All I can think about now is if it's real or not, or if it actually has a human touch or not. And so I think there is something in the air where we're going back to flip phones and we're going back to radio, where it's human to human, voice to ear, kind of that kind of experience. But that's really where Tim lives his life. Tim never really got on the social media bandwagon.
I love the sound of that, a hunger for analog, because we're analog.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And for your listeners who have not seen the 3CR building, it's absolutely glorious, and it feels like we're in the last century in a beautiful little analog studio here.
Well, it's fascinating because we're turning 50 this year.
Wow, our birthday,
congratulations. Yeah,
happy birthday.
Yeah. Our birthday is the 4th of July. How's that?
Great.
And we're having a huge 50th birthday at the Collingwood Town Hall. But we got our permanent license in 1975 and started broadcasting 24/7 in July
ever
76.
Since.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely. So I say to people when we do tours, you know, coming into 3CR is like the history of radio since the 1970s. Yes. You know, you come into this building, which was a printing press actually in the 70s.
Is that what it was?
It was a printing press. Yeah. A left-wing progressive Walker Press, it was called. And then in the very early 80s, 3CR bought it and turned it into this incredible radio station. So thank you, because it really is what you just said.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's coming in here, you can absolutely feel the history in the walls. And if you've been broadcasting 24/7 since, what, 75?
We got our license in the dying days of the Whitlam government in October 1975. They granted us the license.
So those radio waves have been bouncing around the atmosphere and maybe going out into space ever since.
Well, because there were test broadcasts, you know, but on the 4th of July, 1976, it all just became what we see today and here, obviously.
Yeah. What a special program. That's why we've been back on your show. Maybe this is our fifth time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, your wonderful Victorian Theatre Production Company is presenting Future Loves Burning, An Age of Extremes, written and directed by Tim Wotherspoon, Matthew Connell and Clarice Bonello. Thank you so much for joining us today. And yes, that is happening in May at the Motley Bauhaus, May 7 to 23. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, James. Bye.
3CR. Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives, and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.